Ed Robertson, welcoming you back to TV Confidential, a radio talk show about television that takes you behind the scenes of your favorite TV shows, favorite TV personalities, and favorite TV showrunners, such as our next guest, Emmy and Golden Globe award-winning writer-producer Howard Gordon. If you are a fan of Fox Television and the WB, you know that Howard Gordon is the executive producer of such critically acclaimed shows as 24, The X-Files, Angel, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But what you may not have known about Howard Gordon is that in spite of all his great success in television, what he really wanted to be is a novelist. And we are happy to say that Howard recently achieved that goal with the release of his debut novel, Gideon's War, which is released this week, as a matter of fact, this week being the week of January 10th. Gideon's War is similar to 24 in that it features nonstop action, reversals, cliffhangers, and a protagonist who has all but 24 hours to reach a resolution. Howard Gordon has several appearances coming up on both sides of the country in the next couple weeks. We will tell you where he will be, as well as where you can order Gideon's War in just a second. But first, Howard, welcome to TV Confidential.
Thanks, Ed. Glad to be here.
We are very much glad to have you. Tell us, what led you to write Gideon's War?
Well, it's really the fulfillment of a very long-term dream. I actually thought, I started out as always wanting to be a writer, but I initially thought I'd be a novelist. And instead of, frankly, starving in a turret somewhere, I thought I'd try my luck in Hollywood. And 25 years later, I found myself out here, but always holding on to that dream of writing a novel. And the writers' strike in 2007 gave me the chance to put all my excuses on the back burner and actually give it a shot.
Well, you more than give it a shot. It is everything a good thriller should be, in that it is a page turner in every sense of the word. You hook the reader from the very beginning, and the action moves. And knowing that you are the man who executive produced and basically was the showrunner of 24 for all of its 8 seasons on Fox, it was I tried really hard, Howard, not to think of it in terms of 24, but in some ways, Gideon's War being a novel. And because you can go to go to great depth in terms of character description and plot and stuff like that. In some ways, I think Gideon's War and the character of Gideon Davis is what 24, the TV show, would be like if you wrote it out as a novel.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right there. At some level, it's the muscle I've developed and flexed for a long time, and I certainly didn't endeavor to an historical novel. There was a very conscious reason. I love thrillers. I love this kind of storytelling. I did try to find a character, and I think I have in Gideon, who is different than Jack Bauer, but he certainly finds himself in a situation, where he's testing these fundamental beliefs that he has held for reasons we discover in the novel. These reasons that are, this resolve to negotiate and to pursue conflict nonviolently, and he tests that belief. And that was Jack is in a very different place. So I think even in the thriller firmament, there are the likes of Vince Flynn and Brad Thor have really kind of spoken for the guy who with the big stick who doesn't ever question his own his own motivations and his own thinking.
Well, Gideon, like Jack, is very much a resourceful man. I mean, he's smart, but he's not too book smart. I mean, even though he's a diplomat by trade, when forced in a situation where it's do or die, he is able to call on his survival skills like a Jack Bauer would. And there are many situations, folks, throughout the book, where you find yourself, where all this stuff is coming at him, and he has literally a split second to do something, and you wonder what he's going to do, and he shows that, like a good hero, he thinks on his feet and gets his way and works his way out of it.
Absolutely. Well, on 24, we had a saying: not good, never boring.
Yes.
And I try to write that in mind.
You mentioned you had always wanted to be a novelist. Were there any particular writers that you read growing up that inspired you, or that you'd hope that you might stylistically might want to be like?
Yeah, it's, I, probably would have thought, again, this is when I was in, you know, in college, my aspirations sort of tended more toward the literary. You know, I admired Saul Bellow and, John Updike, mm-hmm. back in the 70s and 80s. In terms of thrillers, I loved Thomas Harris. I remember reading Black Sunday was a very seminal book for me.
Yeah.
Day of the Jackal was something that always inspired me. And of course, you know, the movies of the Days of the Condor were things that I always, you know, watched again and again. And when I started writing, I kept those scripts on my desk for years. So those are definitely some of the inspirations, and they continue to.
What is harder to write, Howard, a good action sequence or a good sex scene?
You know, I guess there it depends on who's having the sex. And but, you know, they're actually very related, because I think everything always stems to character. I mean,
yeah.
if you and point of view, if you really understand where someone's coming from, if you call it sex, if it's about sex, it's not just about describing the act itself, but understanding the context. In this book, Gideon and Kate, who find each other, are both people who've had some difficulty connecting with other people, for mostly for heroic reasons, but also for, you know, kind of tragic ones as well. So when they come together, or even when they're in any kind of proximity to each other, hopefully you feel the sexual tension, because you understand the context of these two characters. Similarly, when someone's in peril, it's not just about guns and explosions. And on 24, it was the same thing. I was always drumming into, you know, my fellow writers and whatever director was directing the episode, that action is always about point of view. You have to be in someone's skin to feel the peril and to feel the excitement.
Right, and you know, there should not be any scene done for its own sake. It should all contribute to the story, right?
Absolutely. It's not about explosions and pyrotechnics. I think that wears thin, even, you know, to the best special effect can't make up for a hollow story.
We are talking to Howard Gordon, Emmy and Golden Globe Award winning producer of 24, The X-Files, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and other television series, as well as the author of Gideon's War, a novel which none other than Kiefer Sutherland, the man who played Jack Bauer, describes as a rip-roaring thriller. The publisher of Gideon's War, a novel, is Touchstone Books, and you can order Gideon's War as well as see the trailer for the book by going to www.gideonswar.com, www.gideonswar.com. Howard has several appearances coming up in the next couple of weeks, including a book signing at the Barnes & Noble, 189 Grove Drive in Los Angeles on Tuesday, January 11th, as well as a signing at the Bryant Library in Roslyn, New York on Wednesday, January 12th, a signing at the Park Road Bookstore in Charlotte, North Carolina on Tuesday, January 18th, and finally an appearance at the Barnes & Noble in Wellington, Florida on Wednesday, January 19th. We will post all of Howard's appearances on our website, tvconfidential.net, as well as our blog page, blog.tvconfidential.net. Howard, on the sheet in front of me, it mentions that the signing that's coming up on Wednesday the 12th in Roslyn, New York, will also include a screening of your favorite episode of 24. I would be remiss if I did not ask you what that is.
You know, it's a tough one. I think of them all sort of as my children, or at least the ones, certainly the ones that I wrote. And this one for me was the one I continue to sort of pick as my favorite is the one, I can't remember the number, but it's season 3 when Jack is forced by Saunders to kill Chappelle,
oh,
boss, who's on to someone. And it really,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a very challenging,
yeah,
episode to write, and I think it was a moment that was a very iconic one for the character, because although he's had to do some unsavory things, this sort of topped the charts, and I think it's one that Kiefer, as Jack, I mean, you know, we constantly talked about setting a benchmark, and that was certainly the one. And I just was very happy to say, it was one of those things where everything, all cylinders fired. It was an episode that really kept the tension, that was very emotional, and I think was kind of shocking at the end, because you always believe that somehow he's going to find a way not to do this, and in fact, he does. And particularly, too, in the third season, things started getting a little, I don't know how to describe it, but when it's a show that traffics in surprises and in reversals, and I think even that was surprising by the standard, the already sort of jaded standards of our audience. So I was pretty happy with it.
Well, of course, one of the great things about 24 is I mean, not only the fact that it moves like, you know, a roller coaster ride, but there's always a little emotion. There's always a big emotional payoff at the end of each episode. You know, I mean, you don't just take advantage of the fact that you've got the audience's emotions, you know, pretty much on hold, you know, nonstop for the course of the hour, but you give them a chance to, you know, breathe at least a little bit and enjoy the ride, you know, and to gear themselves up for the next one.
Yes. Yeah, that was, I mean, obviously that was our, that was certainly our contract with the audience, was adrenaline and hopefully trying to keep them as breathless as possible and obviously wanting to, feeling, you know, like I got to tune in for the next episode. I always liked watching with my family when they would curse at the time when the last couple seconds ticked down. That was always a fun thing.
Absolutely. Last week, the Los Angeles Times had a little thing on the most memorable characters of the year of the television year 2010. I forget where he ranked in the top 10, but foremost among the memorable characters, according to the L.A. Times, was President Charles Logan, played by Greg Itzen on 24. And I got to ask you, Howard, when I think of Charles Logan, if I were to play word association, you know, Charles Logan, I would say weasel. Now, was he always such a weasel on paper? Or was that something that came about between writer and actor?
Well, he was absolutely defined from the get-go as a weasel. His evolution, what became interesting was that he wasn't just a weasel, he was kind of a snake in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
He had this this spineless introduction in season four where he was elevated to the position of power and was totally incapable of exercising that power with any kind of responsibility. And David Palmer steps in and, of course, saves the day, but gets no credit in the end. And you know, so the guy was, as you say, was a tremendous weasel. But even that now, rolling into season five, something about it started to wear thin. Like, a guy just can't be spineless. And
right.
That only goes so far. And so when we pulled this reversal that, wait a second, this whole thing has been an act, he is, in fact, spineless, but he's a lot more manipulative than any and a lot smarter than anybody ever gave credit for. And that's what when he became a really interesting character, because he'd been so underestimated by people.
And it is very difficult, and this is kudos to Greg as an actor. It is very difficult to take a character that can easily be construed as a caricature and give him, you know, some spine and give him some depth, even though, you know, he is a moral jellyfish.
Yeah, well, we were just so lucky to have found Greg Itzen, who is a phenomenally talented actor and a great guy and a good friend.
You mentioned David Palmer. You know, my favorite three seasons of 24 are the first three with Dennis Haysbert, and we could spend a half an hour just talking about the you know, singing the praises of Dennis Haysbert. But one of my favorite, because the show was written in such a way where it was very plot oriented, and there are only moments few and far between where you can reveal or an actor can reveal aspects of character within the roller coaster aspect. And one of my favorite parts of watching that show was when Palmer got mad. And because he was the president, he had to be cool about it. And he would, and Haysbert had this way of flaring his nostrils just very briefly. It was just so cool, and it said everything you needed to know about that man at that moment.
Absolutely. Tremendously understated actor. I mean, he's really one of those – he's such a powerful presence on screen and in person. And I was – by the way, I was really lucky. He wound up doing me a tremendous favor, and he read – he did the voiceover for my trailer for the book. So if you go to GideonsWar.com, you can actually see the trailer. Or go to YouTube, the Gideon's War trailer, that Dennis's voice. So there's a reason why Allstate has put him at the front and made him the face of that organization. You just feel very safe with him.
We are talking to Howard Gordon, Emmy and Golden Globe Award winning producer of 24, The X-Files, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and other television series. Howard is also the author of Gideon's War, a novel. Which Howard just mentioned. You can order by going to www.gideonswar.com. Howard, I understand you have two television shows in the works, one for NBC, the other for Showtime. What can you tell our listeners about them without fear of death?
Well, I can tell you that in television, unlike the world of publishing, things tend to be a little more speculative. Nothing's done until it's on the air, and
yep.
when it's on the air,
yep.
it might be off the air in a week or two. So I will tell you that all that is happening now is on Showtime. I'm doing a pilot, starting shooting next Monday in Charlotte, North Carolina, called Homeland, and it's for Showtime, and it is a thriller. It's based on a show that was produced in Israel about a POW who returns from in our case, he's someone who was presumed dead in the first invasion of Iraq, of Baghdad, 9 years ago, and he's now discovered in the basement of an Al-Qaeda safe house. And there's a CIA agent played by Claire Danes who comes to believe that he isn't the American hero everyone else believes he is. And the other show is called Legends, and it's actually, again, right now it's just a pilot script, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll actually get filmed, so it's probably too early to talk about it.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed, and if they get the if the NBC show gets the green light, hopefully you'll come back and talk to us some more about that. One of the fun things, I mentioned this to you before we went on the air, Howard. One of the fun things about doing this program is learning things that our guests have done that I was not aware of. And in your case, your first credit as a television writer was writing for Spencer for Hire with Robert Urich and Avery Brooks, one of my favorite shows. How did that assignment come about?
Well, when I first moved out here, I moved out with my writing partner at the time and actually still my writing partner because I wrote Homeland with him, Alec mm-hmm. Gonza. We both graduated from Princeton in 1984 and came out here to L.A. knowing no one. And rather than waiting tables, we actually were SAT preparation tutors. We started a little company, an SAT preparation company. And my first student, believe it or not, was the daughter of the producer of a show that hadn't even been aired yet, but it turned out to be Spencer for Hire.
Oh, wow.
She knew that Alex and I were aspiring writers and invited Alex, and again, very discreetly, invited us to submit a script to her father. We did. He invited us to pitch some ideas, and we read the entire Robert Parker oeuvre then, and went and pitched a couple ideas and sold our first script.
Did you ever get a chance to cross paths with Parker?
I sure did. I met him a couple of times. John Wilder remained a friend of his, and I saw him once or twice in the course of over the years, and remained a fan of his for the last 20 years, and was very sorry that we lost him.
Very sorry that he passed this past year. The listeners know this. I had an opportunity to spend an afternoon with Parker about 10 years ago, and as an aspiring novelist myself, I always like to ask writers about their process, and I asked Parker if he starts with any sort of outline or sketch when he writes, or does he sort of let it go where the story takes him, and I never forgot his answer. He said, "The only thing I know is that Spencer is not going to die."
Huh.
I'm curious, when you set about writing Gideon's War, did you have an idea of where you were going to go, or did you just go where the story took you?
Well, I knew Gideon would die because I had been contracted to write a second book.
That's good.
At the beginning, so I can't warrant what will happen at the end of the second book. But I did know, personally, I like to know, to answer this question you posed to Robert Parker, I like to know where my character begins and before I know where he's going to end. So I think by understanding the dramatic proposition of an emotional proposition that faces a character, and in Gideon's case, for instance, this insistence on nonviolence and negotiation and engagement, that was something I knew I wanted to dramatize this man's being tested with that fundamental belief, but also I think that if you over scheme or over program or over outline, it can take some of the elasticity out of the product. And certainly 24 was benefited from that as well, because it was impossible to sketch out an entire season. So much of it became this improvisation and, frankly, backing ourselves into a corner. And that's where a lot of the show's energy came from, was getting out of these tight spots.
I know we only have a couple minutes left. Not every producer can make this claim, Howard, but you wrote for and executive produced four shows, Buffy, 24, The X-Files, and Angel, that were not only wildly successful during their network runs, but also critically acclaimed. To you, what do you attribute the success of all those shows?
Well, you know, I attribute my own participation to varying degrees. You know, I was on Buffy for a very short time, Angel a little longer, but again, not as long. X-Files and 24, I was lucky enough to be part of, in 24's case, the entire run. Yeah, you know, part of it is just you can't ever dispute your, you know, the luck factor. Because there's so much luck that goes into a television show. There are any number of things that can go wrong, and just one thing, the wrong cast member, the wrong director, and, you know, the thing can derail very quickly. So I was lucky enough to pick right and to be chosen right. I think, you know, it was also they just were good shows. I was just lucky enough, I think, to be in the right place in the right time to sort of have doors open for me. But to credit myself, I was able to walk through the doors and do a good job, and I think contribute to the success of all those shows, again, in various, you know, to varying degrees.
Well, the proof is in the pudding, and it has been a treat and a pleasure to talk to you tonight, Howard. Final question. I understand that the plans for the big screen version of 24 have recently hit a snag. Is that the end of the line for Jack Bauer, or is that something only Fox knows?
I think that's really something only Fox knows, but I think, and I think Kiefer thinks and believes strongly that there's definitely life in Jack yet, and I think there's more story to tell, so I hope get that chance one day.
Well, there is life in Jack, and there is life in Gideon Davis. Gideon Davis is the protagonist of Gideon's War, a brand new novel by Howard Gordon that will appeal to fans of 24 as well as fans of page-turning action thrillers. You can order the book. You can order Gideon's War by going to www.gideonswar.com, www.gideonswar.com. Howard, you say there is a sequel to Gideon's War in the works. I certainly hope you will join us when that book comes out. I hope you'll join us again on TV Confidential.
That'll be my pleasure. Thanks so much, Ed.
Tony Figueroa and Donna Allen will join us when we come back on TV Confidential.
Gideon Davis is a peacemaker, sworn to nonviolence, sent by the president to bring in a rogue U.S. operative who has become a terrorist of mythic proportions. Somewhere in the South China Sea sits the obelisk, a state-of-the-art deep-sea oil platform, like a ticking time bomb. The terrorist's plan to seize the rig could start a war that would change the course of history. Gideon's mission is simple: stop him at any cost. So why send a peacemaker to deal with a devil? Because this devil is his brother. Gideon's War. To keep the peace, he has to start a war.